Chapter 3. Darrow. Revenants. Alarms blare throughout the base. I sprint down the corridor and catch a rail rifle thrown by Thraxa as she falls into a run beside me. Her mouth is open in a mad, bad grin. She has the only razor on the marcher and seems not at all interested in sharing it. "How many ships?" I ask. Her eyes twinkle. "Just one," she says. "Still big enough to glass us. I say we play dead. Let them come in with boarding teams. Kill them all, take their shuttle, ride it over to their ship, commandeer it, and..."
"Ride it home."
My eyes go dark. "We might lose half the men." "More," she says. A cabal of two, we share a single mind. Our troops flow around us in the hall. They are so small. They glance up at us, their generals, for reassurance. Thraxa grips me, voice low. "If there's opportunity, we do what we gotta do."
"Torchship closing. It knows we're here," Screw calls.
"So much for playing possum," I say. I look at Thraxa's blade, bad alas. She shields it from me with her body and we jog on. In our rush to access the main hall slide, we nearly collide with engineers streaming up out of their barracks. Most wear only their field chest armor, still scuffed and dented from their trek through the Laydon. I take a chest plate from one and marshal two dozens on me. I send Thraxa to command the two railgun batteries as I head to defend the hangar.
"I should have the blade," I call as we part.
She booms a laugh.
"You had your own."
"I did. I miss my wife's gift. I feel naked without it. Rifles are fine, but I hate being at the mercy of the quality of an enemy's armor. Better to be close where the kill is assured."
"Have they spotted us?" I ask into my comm. "Screw."
Screw doesn't reply. In the hangars, I find Harnassus and several oranges making a firing line behind a barricade. Harnassus tries to keep the fear from his voice.
"It'll be Obsidian Berserkers first, through the doors," he says, as I join him.
"Screw, I need a report," I say into my comm. "Are they within range of the base's railguns yet?" "Screw, they're transmitting a message."
A pause. My heart thumps. Railguns prime down the firing line. Then Screw bursts into laughter.
"I'll be damned."
Has he finally snapped? Like Orion? Like Severo?
"Boss, tell Thraxa to stand down the batteries. Stand down. The torchships are friendly. It's the wayward Chin, and he's brought friends."
The torchship extends an umbilical to connect with our base. My troopers flock to the aperture as Colloway Char slinks out. Harnassus, Thraxa, and I wait for Char. Screw didn't bother coming. Instead of ducking his slender shoulders and making a beeline for me, the best pilot in the Republic slows. Colloway Char is skinny as a rail, the dark skin on his face drawn tight to show every contour of his skull. When he looks at our men, it's not with his usual weary tolerance, but with stony sovereignty. Char has never favored responsibility. I'd hoped he'd be a leader one day. He began that transformation on Heliopolis after Orion died, but he's completed the transformation in my absence.
"Are you with the Telemannus fleet?"
a red engineer calls to him.
"Has Mars fallen?"
shouts a brown rifleman with rusted mod arms and sun-washed eyes. Colloway rears on the brown.
"Has Mars fallen? Has Mars fallen?"
He sneers.
"Where's your faith, Martian? Mars stands, as will she always."
The troops cry out in relief so profound it sounds like a lamentation. Char picks his way through them and tries a salute before I wrap him in an embrace. The top of his head does not even reach the bottom of my chin. I thought I'd gotten skinny, but I can feel his shoulder blades through his jumpsuit. Behind him, several dozen blues and greys disembark and seek out friends amongst my band. I pull back from Char. Once he's greeted Thraxus and Harnassus, I blurt out, "Virginia, is she alive? Is Pax?"
He turns on me with the look of a weary castaway who has seen too much to think of the people we once knew back home as anything other than vague concepts. After a moment, he nods.
"Virginia is," he murmurs. "She governs from Aegea. Don't know about your son."
I hold on to his shoulders to steady myself. Thraxa pats my back.
"I saw Virginia issue an address 3 days ago, Darrow. Victra was by her side, as were Kavex and Niobe, and your brother Kieran. He's arch-governor now."
I sway with so much emotion it hits like grief. I cannot speak.
"Kieran, what happened to Rolo?"
Harnassus asks.
"Rolo was assassinated months ago," Char says.
I'm so used to death I don't blink.
Arch-governor Kieran.
Strange. I cannot imagine my reserved, polite brother holding the office Nero Augustus once occupied.
"Tell us more. We've been dark for months. What else?"
I demand, drunk already and craving more.
"Not much. System is dark soup. Some new gold weapon, or maybe one of ours. Rems? Quicksilvers? Who knows? It's playing havoc with sensors and broadcasts from here to the belt. False signatures everywhere. Solar flares, laser warfare on telescopes, drones with atomics. Add to that the broken hulk spinning everywhere, and it's a mess. We're putting up a fight, I think, but it's safe to say we aren't winning the war." Rim came in for us.
"Who's in command?"
Harnassus asks.
"Helios has the Dust Armada and Dido the Dragon," Char answers.
Thraxa and I glance at one another. The Rim brought two of their three main armadas.
Helios is not good news either. He is their best astral commander.
A steely veteran more than twice my age and experience.
"And Quicksilver, is he back on Mars?" I ask.
Char frowns.
"Suck gossip is he quit the war."
I stare at Char.
"Quit the war? He started it with Fitchner."
He seems to resent how little I know.
"Sephi's dead, too. Blood-eagled by Ragnar's father."
I stare at him. Is he even speaking common?
"He rules the Obsidians and stole the best of the Volk fleet before fleeing Mars."
Thraxa and I share a glance. She's covered in Obsidian tattoos.
"Ragnar's father would be ancient, if he's even alive."
"Imposter," Thraxa sneers. "They fled Mars? Unshorn too?"
Char looks overwhelmed by our inquiries.
"Never mind that," I snap. "What about Severo?"
Thraxa makes a sound of contempt, far more interested in the Obsidians.
"Where is he?"
Char doesn't answer. There's distance between us. Blame.
"I thought you were dead. They said you were dead. The smugglers that got us off Mercury. Everyone thinks you are dead," he says.
"You look halfway there."
I feel a pang of sorrow, like I've been left behind, outmoded, forgotten.
"I wasn't sure anyone else made it off Mercury," I murmur.
I search behind him. "I don't see Rona with you."
"No."
A lump forms in my throat. The last time I saw my niece, Lysander had broken her face after shooting Alexander in the head. I look down. How will I tell Kieran I left his daughter behind? Arch-Governor Kieran.
"Her shuttle didn't make it to the Morning Star before the EMP went off," Char says. "She went down in the city. Only reason we escaped is because some of the assault shuttles in the star were shielded from the EMP by the hull. We couldn't make it to orbit, so we hid in the mountains until we hired iron smugglers to sneak us off planet. We stole the torch ship from the smugglers, who stole it from the Votum fleet. She's more battered than she looks. Half her guns are gone, her armor's patchy, but she has a Votum transponder and she flies like a bat out of hell. She'll be enough to get us home."
"How many are you?" Harnassus asks.
2011. All I could get out of Heliopolis. There's room for more in the torch ship, but we're packed pretty tight. Hoping you have food."
Old MREs, I say. Lots. His eyes search the tunnel passages at the rear of the hangar. Is this all your people?
When I nod, he doesn't look disappointed. He looks angry. I feel the weight of his indictment.
You were on Mercury for weeks, I begin. The rest of the legions, the ones who couldn't get out. What happened to them?
He surveys my face.
Do you care? It'd have hurt less if he stabbed me.
Thraxa jabs a finger in his chest.
Your arch-imperator asked you a question, Char.
We're two different tribes now. My eyes narrow. How bad does he want our food? Butchery. Char looks away, and that common grief indicts my narrowed eyes. Those who didn't starve to death inside the Morning Star or weren't eaten by Atalantia's hounds were impaled by Atlas. From Heliopolis all the way to Tyche. The rest they sent to the Vodum iron mines. I saw it from the air. The road they made.
From Heliopolis to Tyche.
I should have killed Atlas when I had him in my grasp, just as I should have killed Lysander. Does no mercy go unpunished?
No cheer for the hero of the hour or the helium he's purloined,
a patrician voice calls from the umbilical. Thraxa mutters a choice curse.
With his golden curls shining in the grim hangar light, the bloody Dambalona enters and poses like a gallant razor master entering the bleeding place to the amorous cries of fawning pixies.
When only silence greets him, he sighs his disappointment and waltzes toward me with four canisters of processed warship-grade helium balanced on his shoulders. They're stamped with the Bologna eagle. Despite the fact that Cassius is offensively handsome, over 7 feet tall, built like a high-grav boxer, and resplendent in his grey traveller's cloak, all eyes drift toward the dusky woman behind him. Though she wears filthy crewman overalls and carries a pistol, Ori is as out of place amongst us rude soldiers as an orchid in a munitions belt, and not just because she and Cassius still have hair.
Ori is a rare pink, not a cheap thrill with angel wings or horns or a silky tail waiting for a client in a pearl club,
nor a Helen of Troy either. The type of flashing thoroughbred as might be seen on the arm of Atalantia or Apollonius.
Ori is a raw Hetaera, a beauty of shadow and dust with autumnal tragedy written in her features.
Her face is long, her skin a shade darker than olive, her thick hair is wavy and blue-black, and never seems to be the same colour or in the same braid twice. It is impossible to guess her age. Some have guessed 40, some 30, some 20.
It's her eyes that make that last one impossible. They are wide, dark pink, and ancient.
My troops may gossip and cast aspersions, but when they see Ore's slender arms straining under the weight of a single canister of helium-3, a dozen men, and half again as many women, rush to help her. Thraxa shoves them all away and takes the canister. Harnassus tries to pretend he's not jealous of the soft smile Ori gives Thraxa. Used to the reaction, Cassius rolls his eyes and sets down his four canisters with flair. He pops a foot atop one and leans on his knee.
My eyes drift to the helium, and I imagine embracing Virginia the moment I step off the Archimedes in Aegea.
My good man, the finest Martian helium-3 available, courtesy of my mother's smuggling operations on Starhold. Always did love filching from her purse. Behold, your zephyr-wind home.
His eyes narrow.
Provided you haven't molested my ship beyond repair.
He glances at Colloway, who watches him with beleaguered resentment.
Did you tell him, Char?
No, of course not. It's all on me.
Typical.
Tell me what? I ask. Cassius sighs.
It's Sevro. He's not dead. Worse, in fact. A sordid affair. He's been sold at a high society syndicate auction.
Sold? I repeat. To whom?
Cassius winces. That's the part you're really not going to like.